Hello, you're welcome to another special edition of the Post podcast. In the paper at the weekend, we had a special expose on Ireland's looming GP crisis. We're told they're overworked, we're told they're underpaid, and we're also told a number of them are reaching retirement and nobody's going to step in to replace them. Our health editor, Susan Mitchell, spent an awful lot of time investigating the issue last week. Susan, for a number of years, you've been writing about the GPs were on the precipice of a major event at a tipping point. Have we finally reached that tipping point?
I think the signs are that we possibly have. So for a number of years, GPs have warned that they have faced serious financial difficulties. And I suppose in the main, this has come about as a result of...
Seriously though, financial difficulties, GPs. I mean, people look at GPs and say, oh my goodness, it seems like a license to print money to the lay observer.
Well, there's a couple of points about that. So first of all, there are GPs who are certainly earning very good money. So it would be incorrect to paint the entire GP landscape as, you know, a complete crisis zone. Some GPs who are working in affluent areas and got in and got premises when rents weren't too high are doing okay. But very many GPs who invested in premises at the peak of the market or who are located in rural areas are really struggling. And back in 2012, the government levied major cuts on fees and monies that are paid to GPs under what is known as FEMPI, which are the Financial Emergency Measures in the Public Interest Act.
Which is what they did for an awful lot of public servants.
Exactly. I suppose the cuts vary depending on the public servant, and GPs are actually considered independent contractors, but they had their income cut by about 38% on average, which is huge, especially for those who are more reliant than others, who are working in areas or on state income, in other words. So they would be people who, for example, have a lot of medical card holders in their practice, as opposed to people who are private payers and paying out of their own pockets.
Yeah. Now, you did a survey last week where you got on the phone and you rang scores upon scores of GPs. Practices to find out, I suppose, in the main, are they still accepting new patients? I mean, what would even prompt you to ask that question, and what was the result?
So a number of GPs had contacted me to say that various different practices were completely closing their books to new patients.
Now, that's if you ring a GP and ask for an appointment and you're not one of their patients.
Exactly.
They say no.
So this is to new patients. So, for example, people who might be returning home from overseas, people who were relocating within Ireland. In other words, what I was told was happening was people were picking up the phone, phoning and saying, I'm moving with my wife and two kids or whatever else to Navan, Cavan, wherever it might be. Can I join your practice? And GPs were saying no. So we decided to do a survey just to see how serious an issue this was. And we rang various different GPs across the country, every single county in Ireland, and we used four that were surveyed, because what happened in some cases was GPs said, oh, well, we've maybe put you onto a waiting list, etc. So it wasn't clear cut. So they were discounted.
Yeah.
So we literally just included those who said, no, we're
yes
not taking
no.
exactly
yes no.
medical card patients or private payers, which is pretty unprecedented, because they were saying a very firm no, no, we simply cannot take any more patients on and deliver safe care.
It's funny, I mean, I'm just trying to marry those two things. On one hand, we're saying it's very tough to be a GP practice to make money where, given the cuts to state aid. And on the other hand, from a business point of view, they're not taking on new customers.
That's right. So because one of the issues that a lot of GP practices face is that as our population ages, our demands for healthcare increase. So for example, a patient who you might have had 10 years ago now has many more demands than that same patient might have had in their 50s or 60s as they get that bit older. So the demands on GPs have become enormous. So their workload has increased a huge amount. And very many of them said to me that they're doing a lot more work that would have traditionally been done in the hospital space or in hospitals. And they're doing that. There's also a huge volume more paperwork involved. And there are only a certain number of patients that you can actually deliver safe care for and deliver that care in a timely fashion. I mean, one GP, I think it was either Kilkenny or Carlo, told me that his routine waiting list is now in the order of 2 weeks.
So if you're sick, you have to wait 2 weeks.
Exactly. Now, I'm sure if it was an absolute emergency. But if you need to go in for a test or to see him about something that you don't deem a hospital event. Exactly. He said that was taking 2 weeks. So nobody, GPs don't want to take on more patients when that's the kind of time or waiting time their existing patients already face, because you're not delivering a service.
So Susan, the survey said 67%.
Actually, 64%.
64% said they're not taking on new patients. What do those people do now?
Well, this was the worrying thing, that very many of these patients are apparently now presenting at out-of-hours practices around the country. So these are GP services that are provided, you know, after six or late in the evening and into the night for people who aren't quite sick enough to need to go to a hospital emergency department, but do require urgent medical care. And so patients in various parts of the country are now coming to out-of-hours practices and saying, or services, we don't have a local GP. Can you please see me, or can you please see my child? And, you know, among this cohort of patients were women who were pregnant, families with kids. And it's become so bad. Some services are so overrun with routine appointments now that they're closing up the out-of-hours services to patients in that area who aren't registered with a local GP and advising people to go to emergency departments.
So presumably, yeah, that's what I was going to say. Presumably this puts people, send them down to the hospitals, which we know
are already
overcrowded, over budget and overstretched.
Exactly. So this is, and a number of emergency medicine consultants actually contacted me over the weekend as well to say that this is something they're already seeing in emergency departments, patients coming in and saying, sorry, we know we probably shouldn't be in this type of medical, you know, domain. We should be somewhere else, but we can't get a GP to see us. And this is now a newish trend that seems to be developing in emergency departments.
We have a situation whereby anyone who's looking for a GP practice is struggling to get it. And as a result, they're going to out-of-hours clinics, which many of whom are shutting down.
Exactly.
At which point you go to a hospital where you're told not to go to unless it's an emergency, but you have nowhere else to go.
Well, the hospitals, you know, I think, I don't know. I imagine the hospitals are seeing these patients and treating them because they realise.
I'm not suggesting that, but we're continually told don't go to A&E unless it's a serious accident and emergency.
Exactly.
And that your first port of call should be GPs.
Yeah. So, and I suppose the other side of this is an issue, as you pointed out earlier, that's been long flagged by GPs. So GPs, they're an aging workforce. Yeah. Many of them, as you mentioned earlier, are nearing retirement, and new trainees don't want to work in Ireland. They're going overseas where they can earn more money and also work in better environments. And this completely contradicts what the government, you know, ostensibly claims it's planning to do in health, as in deliver more care in the community and outside of hospitals. If you don't have GPs who are in a position to deliver this care outside of hospitals, and they're the linchpin of primary care, well, then we'll never move our care outside of hospitals.
I mean, I know the government would be quick to point out and say, look, we're doing a new GP contract. We're going to sort out this. That's been in gestation for a number of years, hasn't it?
I was going to say, I mean, they've been talking about doing a new GP contract for very many years, and every single year, no matter who the minister is or who the minister has been, he tells us, and they've all been he's in recent years, you know, this year, it's going to be the year that we deliver a new GP contract. Nobody really believes them. And
do they not? I mean, no. Is there not a point at which they just have to do a contract?
Well, you'd hope so, but I think that they probably don't have the money to deliver a new contract this year. I think it's not maybe financially feasible for them to do it, or they don't believe it's financially feasible to do it. But the current contract is very outdated and it's really not fit for purpose.
So people looking at this story and listening to us here now, what's the takeaway on it?
Well, the takeaway is that if you're relocating, make sure you start ringing around and get yourself a GP. But also, I think the takeaway is that this is going to become a real problem. And I'd be surprised if it doesn't become a political problem as people in certain areas. I mean,
especially the burgeoning populations. What, you take somewhere like Finglas in North Dublin or West Dublin, where the population in those areas is ballooning at a rate.
Exactly. Like many of the commuter towns, and actually one GP.
See,
it's
not just we automatically assume this idea of depopulation and say it's rural Ireland. This isn't necessarily a rural Ireland issue.
No, it's not. I mean, some of the areas where I heard that the problem was most acute was in the northeast. So, for example, in Carrickmacross and in Monaghan town, all of the GP practices in those two towns, which are major towns, are closed to new patients. In Navan, another large town, most of the large GP practices have closed there. And I spoke to one GP there, and I think he was one of nine GPs working in a practice. They are not accepting any new patients to that practice. So this is a problem that is happening across the country and indeed in rural areas.
And I presume there's no quick fixes to resolving it. I mean, if it's a crisis that's many years in the making, it's going to be many years in the solution as well.
Yeah, because, I mean, they have one positive development, and one thing that the government does need some credit for is that it has increased the number of GP training places. So in other words, there are more GPs than ever before, or there will be in a few years' time, graduating from medical school. That is a positive development. But if the government doesn't do something to try to retain them and keep them here, well, then it's very difficult to see how this problem is going to be resolved anytime soon.
Because we have been seeing this training centre. We see a massive amount of nurses who train in Ireland and then leave and replaced by nurses who train overseas and then come to Ireland.
Exactly.
And that's kind of happening in doctors as well.
It is. It's happening. And indeed, actually, it's happening across Europe. So it's not a problem.
It's not just an Irish specific, no.
No, it's not just an Ireland specific problem. However, it is more acute here, because what you have here that maybe doctors or nurses in France or who train in Germany don't have is that we're English speaking. So the countries that tend to pay the mega bucks are Australia, Canada, the US, etc. And also one thing that we have that's quite unique is that many of our doctors go to finalise or specialise in their specific specialty overseas, and it's something they have to do to get ahead and to be appointed a medical consultant. So they do that and it opens doors. They work overseas, they see how much easier the working conditions are in many of these areas, and many of them don't want to come back.
Okay, well, Susan, thanks very much for joining us here. No doubt we'll be reading more and more and on. So thank you very much.
Thank you.